All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, okay. Looks like we are going to look at this machine.
Shut up. Nope. Whoa. Sorry. I figured it out. I figured out how to do eggs. I figured out how to do it. How to do eggs again.
You were coming along on your hormones in a way that is incredible.
What do you mean?
you're making eggs now.
Yeah.
It's, you're speedrunning this shit.
Yeah, wonderful science. Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. No. So, like, a long time ago, most of our randomization somehow revolved around eggs. We got self-conscious about it, we didn't do them for a while. But I've got it, Gary. I've got it. My hormones have allowed me. I have precogs. I can make an egg to tell us what we're going to cover.
Neat.
Yeah.
Until the future. When's he gonna die?
No, it can only tell us what game we're gonna cover here.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. All right. So I'm not personally producing them, but found some places here. Let me just grab this egg from the float tube. It says Recovering Minority Report. Everybody runs.
Everybody runs.
Everybody Minority runs this club cranium.
Everybody hurts. Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. It's not like you're going to turn on the car radio.
Well, what would you even pick up? There's none of those stations anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. What? It's not real anymore.
Oh, yeah. Just what? You can just like drive around making up gambling ads.
Yeah, that is true. You don't need to. You can just join DraftKings on your own.
Yeah.
You don't need
cut out the middleman. This week we are talking about Minority Report, Everybody Runs, specifically for the Game Boy Advance. Although we did have some people put the PS2 and GameCube, like the regular console version, into the suggestion machine as well.
When possible, I like to choose a Game Boy Advance or something because I can emulate it in browser. I don't have to. Excuse me, download ROMs and shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nice. And we're just going to talk. We're not going to, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. And actually, I would make the argument that this as a Game Boy Advance game is probably more interesting than the other version.
Oh, probably, yeah.
I don't, and this isn't good, but it's like, it's not a war crime. It's kind of impressive.
No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go that far with you.
As like a kind of a, like a weird hybrid, like side-scrolling run and gun with auto lock on.
No,
and stuff like I don't know.
Decidedly not auto lock on, the most finicky lock on that I've ever seen in a video game.
It's J Neogian in the review calls it virtual targeting, which I think is probably pretty close. It's real finicky. Yeah. But the idea behind that I'm okay with. I didn't like playing this. I'm not saying it's good.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just I had a moment of being like, there's something here. Mm-hmm. If this were better.
Yeah, it is interesting as a Game Boy Advance product.
Yes,
and looking at footage of the PS2 version, it looks almost indistinguishable from those 3D Die Hard games.
Yeah,
to me. Yeah. Doing this like a belt scroller beat 'em up with guns is interesting, but it runs into the, you know, you need to have the auto lock on because of the multiple planes. Of play
and problem. Limited buttons,
yes, you know,
and one stick, and the it doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. It is a thing where the other kind of side effect of doing this version rather than the other one. Like I just chose this because I want to talk about precogs. I don't even see this movie. I just think precogs are fun and they have eggs.
Yeah,
and they lay in a protein milk. Is how they survive. They draw in a protein milk forever. Mm-hmm. Was that I love the era where the Game Boy Advance version was a completely different thing.
Yes.
I'm really affectionate for that era of video games before handhelds got good.
There has been a flattening that has been achieved. You also got a little bit of this with like the PS2 and Wii version of a particular game. And then for a little while, you had the DS version plus the Vita version were also different versions of the game. So like if there was a temple release, there could have been like six different versions of it put out.
That's pretty great. Yeah. This started to fade, I think, with the PSP, where you started getting games where like this is just a crappy version of Killzone.
Yeah,
you know, it's Killzone, but it's just crappy Killzone.
But even those like Killzone ones are interesting because they're kind of like Diablo likes. They're like top down shooters more than anything.
I guess that's not actually that. I was thinking, what I think, or like a crappy version of God of War.
Yeah.
Like they're different games, different campaigns, but they're just like a worse version. It's not like a whole different genre. Killzone's a bad example.
Yeah. Sorry. I knew if I didn't do this gently, somebody was going to come in and say, actually, I understand that those are actually interesting.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with them. Got no clue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of fun. But there's not a whole lot to this. It's kind of like playing Narc.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Narc.
Yeah. Narc is a good pull on that. And I don't like Narc. I don't think Narc is a good video game.
Yeah. Narc is not a good video game. The best thing about Narc is the end boss, which is a big head on treads.
Mm-hmm.
But this game is in the pile of things that some people like as well.
Yes. There are
very positive reviews of this for some reason.
Yeah. None of the Game Boy Advance version that I can see.
Yeah, it's largely the PS2 version. Nobody likes this bit. Mm-hmm. But the people who like the other versions really like it. Bases Loaded Walked did a 10 out of 10 review for both the Xbox and PS2 version, which I assume means they bought it on both platforms and compared them.
Maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
This also, like, it feels a little bit like it is something from out of time. I was introduced to a term like a couple of days ago that I don't know what to make of. Gary, have you ever seen something like a video game be referred to as campaign slop?
I know the slop suffix and its semantic drift.
Yes.
I do not know the specific prefix of campaign.
Yeah. So campaign slop is a term that has popped up, I think, primarily with people talking about like Black Ops 2, but has been like retroactively referred to as like any game that is campaign forward. So like the shit that we like covering on Watch Out for Fireballs, like us looking for like singularity, new singularity.
So it's not multiplayer.
Yeah. As being referred to as just the umbrella term campaign slop for a game that has a beginning and end.
That's a bad use of slop.
Yeah, very bad use of slop.
That's a discourse, I'm sure.
Yep.
Like I'm not online. I'm sure people have talked about whether slop is used properly or anything. Mm-hmm. Like slop is useful.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is really, really overdone, but you can't make it something as broad as a campaign.
Has campaign, therefore is sloppy because it has it. It's relying an awful lot on the listener having your exact same conception about video games that have ends.
It doesn't tell you anything. It's almost like saying game slop.
Yeah.
You know, or like it's TV slop. Like, you know, it's not great. You don't like it.
Not at all.
Yeah, that sucks. Mm-hmm. People are dicks. People suck. We're recording. This is the first episode we're recording in the new year. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah. We just came off of a break. We can talk about that now. We had a focused episode we recorded before this.
We did.
Where we had something to talk about. This episode, the fact that they drink and live in a protein milk and they lay little eggs that tell you the future.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating to me. But very also, we've got some time off. We're back, baby.
We did. Yeah. I wish I could say I'm refreshed.
Yeah. We're going to move soon.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a cross country move, and I have never. You asked me how I was doing when we signed on. I said, Gary, I'm drowning.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
yeah.
So my fault for the timing on it and what have you. But So like my break has mostly been logistics.
Yeah. What do you do for fun in your off time?
No, but this is a really like donuts, huh? You know, like it's
you really like logistics, do you? Just like pretend it's a game.
It is a game that I am failing. in a game, when you want to rest, you like walk up to the bed and you press the A button and ask, do you want to rest? Advances time by 8 hours, and then you do it, and then it just comes back instantly. You're there. Not the case here. Your body does break down.
It would be cool if that were true, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they should make a bed that does that to you.
I mean, so in Chrono Trigger in the 2300 epoch, and that era, you know, they have the Enertron, which is like this miracle machine that you can step into and it like automatically refreshes you. Yeah. Having an Enertron, but also just like not a food shortage is the way to go. As much as I would like to retain the option to sleep because I very much enjoy sleep. But at a time like this, if I could maximize, if I could do the Russian fighter jet research chemicals.
Yeah. you need some Adrafinil. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a dark web source for you.
Okay. I'd rather not.
Adrafinil.
I don't know.
You're at the right age where you should start taking experimental amphetamines.
Yes. Yeah.
If not now, then when? The best time to start doing those is 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
As much as I like the game Unpacking, its prequel Packing, a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like me and you've never really thrown anything away. So I'm doing an awful lot of like a lot of sorting and a lot of purging in addition. Mm. Like if it was just a matter of take stuff that you have and put it in a box, it would be one thing. But yeah,
I love purging though.
Yeah,
like that to me, that is very fun and satisfying. It makes my body feel good. Mm-hmm. To go through and be like, I don't actually want this anymore. Who am I kidding?
Yeah,
that feels great to me. But I hear you. Like mm-hmm. I'm not trying to project that onto you.
No. It's just it's an additional logistic concern because like I could just pick everything up and put it in a box, but that wouldn't be terribly wise. I don't think.
Yeah,
you end up moving a lot of stuff you shouldn't move. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you do this, but I always get to the point in Packing where everything just kind of goes in a box because fucking we got to go.
Yeah. Like, no, I definitely had like a system at the start where each box had a number mm-hmm. and I had a little sheet that said what was in it. Not the case anymore.
Yeah. So that's just going to go out the window.
Yeah. That's a tale as old as time though. Yeah.
The in terms of things I just put in a box randomly, mm-hmm. I recently was doing some purging because I wanted to go through some boxes I had found where we're trying to fix up parts of our basement. Yeah. And I had packed away my raincoat that way.
Oh,
like I'd spent this entire like year and a half being like, I had a raincoat mm-hmm. and I had hidden a box with like those little transforming McDonald's foods. And like, a thing of lip balm, mm-hmm. like just, oh, okay. This was the last box I packed. I see.
Yeah, you're like the great aunt in Christmas Vacation. You're just packing the cats and the Jell-O molds and stuff. Yeah.
I just have to leave. You know, there's no getting around it. I must go.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So you're gonna have that pleasure of finding some random ass bullshit.
In
a year, it's gonna feel good.
Stuff that I thought was lost forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
good feeling.
There's also like legit like just Gary for the like the past like 4 months in my head, I've been doing the fox, chicken, and corn puzzle mm-hmm. With how to get my cats across the country.
Yeah.
I ended up just hiring some people to come and it's like it's gonna really suck for them being in that kennel being driven across the country, but at least I do not have to be in the car with them to hear it.
You had to hear them scream for 3 whole days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's no fun. Big psychic damage.
Big psychic damage just even thinking about it. But I also picture me with my anxiety and my cats with their anxiety, trying to navigate airport security.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, you have to take the cat out of its carrier and hold it up against you. Imagine a cat gets loose in an airport terminal and I have to find it and there's a ticking clock.
I used to think about that with roars. Like, uh-huh. And there's no situation where it would happen, but I'd be like, what if Rose was lost in an airport?
Yeah.
And I don't know where that evil thought came from. Like, it wasn't even on the table. I was just like, boy, that would be hard.
That's just what you
do. And it's like, yeah, fucking would, stupid Gary.
Yeah.
Like, you got yourself. You're cooking.
It's a situation you would want to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, that would fucking suck. That would be sad for you and the cat.
Uh-huh.
Try not to do it.
Yep.
You know? Oh, okay, I don't have to do anything not to do that.
Uh-huh.
Cool. I'll keep not doing that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that's scary shit. The mm-hmm. fact that they make you take the cat out at all is wild because cats, when you take them out, they claw the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a rule from like back when people used to declaw cats.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, I had a whole false alarm trying to get the cats like a travel certificate. I was like, I'm gonna get ahead, and I'm gonna take the cats to a vet in December. Turns out you need to have the travel certificate done 10 days before it. So I had I got Greta to the vet unnecessarily, and trying to keep her. She is an escape artist. She's a little squirm worm. Just the idea of trying to hold her for any period of time and her not get away is just, she's not accustomed to it. I don't make her do things she doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, the cats value freedom.
Yeah,
and it's good to have free cats. Do you do collars on your cats?
Not generally all the time. I am going to put a collar on them before they go. For them, obviously. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. I always think like collars are so cute.
Yeah,
but the cat doesn't want to do it.
No.
Like, what a weird thing to be like. Nope. Here you go. You have to wear this uncomfortable thing so I can take pictures of it. You know, if it's an indoor cat, like if it's not a functional collar.
Yeah.
You know, what I mean, specifically, obviously.
I used to have a fun little like bow tie collar for Greta, and I just stopped making her wear it because.
Yeah. They're cute, but it's cruel.
Yeah. Or if it feels cruel. It is also cruel. It is very funny. Like right after you put it on them, at least Greta, her conception of how to get out of it is just to walk backwards.
Yes. Very funny. They're not smart animals.
No.
You know, but again, sad.
Very sad. Yeah. So like I'm dealing with all of that. Also like emotion from leaving, you know, just like, oh, it's a big change. I'm leaving people behind, as excited as I was. And as much as is waiting, like the amount of like work that's sitting on me, plus the, you know, emotional difficulty, like the delayed hit, are just combining to be like, oh man, I could totally get out of this if I wanted to. I could just lose all my deposits, pay all the penalties, and just stay. And that is such a temptation, but I don't want to do it.
Not doing something is always tempting.
Yeah.
We talked about this before Duckstream, where it's like, that was really fun, successful, obviously, is good. Thanks, everybody, for listening, et cetera, tuning in. But like we could not do that.
Yeah.
Like something could happen, and then we wouldn't have to do it, is like a weirdly appealing thing.
Yeah.
This is us at our most rested. I just want to say that for the listeners to understand.
Now,
like, don't need to buckle up for 2026 or anything. It's not going to all be this, but
yeah,
this is probably the most rested I've been recorded in a while, and I am still just like, boy, it'd be good not to do stuff.
Yeah. You don't have the excuses that I have. My system's flooded with cortisol. I was at the doctor. They're like, your pulse is really high. I was like, well, yeah.
No shit, Poindexter. Yeah, no, I don't have the excuse. I just relating to the feeling.
Yeah. No, I got you. I was also just busting balls.
Yeah. Razz me. Razzmatazz.
Yeah.
Would you, if you could, lay a precog egg?
Would I have control over what it said?
No, it's a precog egg. I'm not saying, do you want the power to determine the future?
Yeah.
It's know the future.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, no. So I guess like the subject matter, like if I just got,
oh, what it's about.
Yeah. Like so I think in the movie, they just produce the egg and it has like a name on it.
It's mostly murders.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's almost all murders.
It's all murders.
They
right.
They sit in a big milky bath and think about murders for years. Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So like if I had to go, you know, like there is not an aperture on my body that I would feel comfortable passing an egg through. Just going to put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be a hard time. But if I just did that to get a name of somebody who is either going to kill or die, I don't know that's worth it for me.
No, it'd be like getting just a random name at the point. You like can't do very much with it.
Yeah.
The idea that like
going to a gift shop and spinning the rack of novelty license plate keychains.
And here's a name. I guess I could see if I could find which one was gonna be murdered and warn them before an indeterminate amount of time.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it telling you that, but you can, first of all, mouth would be the aperture.
Okay.
It would suck.
No, but like it comes out the mouth, but like I would be throwing up a whole egg in reverse. So like I'm thinking of the throat there.
Yeah, no, it would hurt.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the other parts. Like I think mouth would be the best one.
I think like, shitting the egg might be easier.
You think shitting the egg? I mean, yeah, I could see either one. I think that I don't know how you can get like an endoscopy. I don't know how wide you can make your throat. and still be okay. Yeah. Like, I imagine you have a sore throat after doing it, but in my world, you don't just do it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not Birdo. You every once in a while, like, oh shit, it's coming on. I'm going to tell the future. Mm-hmm. And then like you produce the egg. But yeah. I would not want it to be a name either. I'd want it to be, if I could control the subject, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But it just being like a true thing that's going to happen that it's up to me to make useful.
Yeah.
Like a good DM was giving me egg.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. But then you get into like, oh, you think that you're going to make it come true. You think you're going to avert it. And then actually you end up making it happen. You get into those irony. Yeah. What's that?
Wouldn't that be fun once though? Like the first time it happened, you're like, you fucking got me.
Again, it fucking depends though.
Yeah, that is true. It depends on the consequences of it.
Yeah.
Like how much guilt would be involved. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
Knowing the future is one of those things where it's like immortality, where every single fiction mm-hmm. that's ever been is like, you don't want this.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, I could tank it.
I'm different though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the One Ring or immortality mm-hmm. or something. Like, I feel like I could do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to think of like the surface area that something nefarious would have to ply me with that. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. That's tricky.
Yeah. I have a lot of flaws, but like, it's hard to conceive of. Maybe that's just not something you can think of for yourself, right?
Yeah. And it would also be, you know, there is the guilt aspect to it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you find out about 9/11 and like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, nothing. Like, they knew, they had information about stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't do anything at that point. So that would end up creating an apathy in you.
Yes.
I guess I really just want the thing that the Cyclopses have in Crawl, where they know when they're going to die. Oh. And it's considered like a big curse, but I'd be like, no, I could make my life, I'd be pretty, treat my life pretty well if I knew.
But what if it's an answer that you don't, man, I don't know.
It'd suck. Like if the answer was like 6 days.
Yeah.
Like that sucks. Mm-hmm. But I would spend those 6 days really meaningfully. And it was going to be 6 days regardless. The only difference being is whether I am like frittering those days away or whether I'm using them right.
But you know? but what if the frittering is the thing that you want to do? Like just like, oh, I did all the stuff that I would have done anyway, just without the knowledge that that it was coming.
I don't think I would. I don't think I'd want to fritter. I think I'd want to like, you know, make sure all the people
were in. You want to go out and seize it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd seize some. I'd carpet fucking DM and I'd be out on the seas where they can't get me. Okay. And I would make sure everybody, you know, who I cared about knew what I thought of them. You know, and I would make sure that, you know, do my best to try to make sure Liv was taken care of, take out a big life insurance policy, mm-hmm. You know, basically make sure that the people in my life have won the lottery when I die, try to arrange my own burial so I don't leave in a mess.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of things that I would do if I knew that I wouldn't do otherwise.
Yeah. There's something about like, you know, all of the stories are about like, oh, knowing the time and manner of your death is bad for you particularly. Even if I could handle it, I don't know that the people around me would want to. But like, if I started going around telling people what I really thought of them, that is such a departure from my actual behavior that they would know that I was dying and then
dying.
They would know that something is up.
Yeah. Well, let them wonder.
Okay.
It's not going to be a problem pretty soon.
But then I actually die. So it's not quite a story.
Yeah. It's they can be like, oh, something's up. And you'd be like, nah, I'll never tell. Yeah. And then, you know, they'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
And you no longer exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you'd do some stuff that I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that I could do some drugs that I'd like to try.
Okay. Yeah.
I can see. You know, just at the end, like not before I do all the stuff. I don't think on heroin I'm going to be good at like buying life insurance policies.
Playing catch.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to have a catch with Dad.
Yeah.
On heroin. No, so
just, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to go have a catch with Dad. I'm going to have a catch with my son. I'm just like just connecting with everybody by playing catch. They're just a big light of the park.
A montage. Everyone gets to catch once.
Yeah.
You know? But I, you know, at the very end, uh-huh. Yeah, like, this is like a little heroin.
Uh-huh. You
know, or like that fentanyl stuff.
Oh man. But what if that's what it is? Like, what if they say, like, oh, you're going to die of this time of a fentanyl overdose?
Well, because it's going to happen regardless.
Okay.
You can't have precogs without fate.
Okay.
Like the future has to be pre-written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with precogs. Yeah.
I think that I want to go the Ottawa modified death route.
Okay.
That is a concept and a joke from Akewood, where meat is ethically sourced by killing animals by giving them a good time. You show them a good time and then you kill them without them expecting it.
Yeah, the last day dog. We're doing all your favorite thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's been scientifically proven that the meat of an animal that dies without suffering tastes better. Modified death animals are executed in a loving cage-free environment.
Yeah. Yeah, but actually,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because like as a human, humans don't get the last day dog experience.
No,
you know, it's pretty rare. Every once in a while, like that kind of thing happens. But if it does, you're in a fucking hospital.
Yeah, if I want some McDonald's ice cream, I could go and get it right the fuck now, presuming the machine was working.
You know, and I don't have to be like unable to move in a bed and a doctor tells me to do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, hey, you eat whatever you want, buddy. Mm-hmm. Like that's a very different experience than like. Shit, I got one more day, but I'm capable. You know, I'm ambulatory. I'm going to go eat some McDonald's ice cream. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go break into a McDonald's and park myself under the McDonald's ice cream.
Yeah, I'm going to give myself a 30-second pull at the McDonald's ice cream.
Yeah, I'm going to see what the actual nozzle tastes like.
I bet it tastes like chocolate and vanilla.
What kind of bacteria does it taste like?
Ooh.
I'm going to know firsthand how often this has been cleaned and has the freedom not to care.
It's got a patina, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. I think there's something to it. It's not so much that like I would give anything for it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't use one of my wishes for it. But like if it did happen, I could see the upside. I think I could make lemonade. I guess that's my point.
Okay. I was about to pose a hypothetical that is just way too fucking sad. So yeah. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. It was already kind of a sad episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that stuff's kind of interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a reason why sci-fi writers have been like using it as a premise for eternity.
Yeah, including Philip K. Dick. I'm not is the story called Minority Report, or is it actually something like The Detective's Day Out was marked by flannel? and an uncomfortable shoe. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. It actually is the Minority Report.
Huh.
Because usually they are like something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's just a novella. This is the cover of it. It's in a like a magazine, like a pulp magazine. So it's like, how is this the fucking cover of Minority Report? Because it's a gigantic bug looking at a little guy in a bubble.
Oh,
it's like that's got to be a very abstract interpretation.
Yeah,
but no, it's pretty basically the same in the story.
Pre-crimes.
Yeah.
Huh. I was going to say, this has to be for another show.
Yeah.
Or for another story. I don't know that in the original story that they aren't bugs that are used to determine who kills.
No, it's somebody who has a, they're guys, they're people.
Okay.
The precogs were originally named Mike, Donna, and Jerry. So just the real Whitman, Price, and Haddad of fucking precogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going on over there. But yeah, they're folk. They're plugged into a machine. They're mutants.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about doing like trying to do a read of Philip K. Dick because I've liked movies based on his stuff, you know, mm-hmm. but like you look at the early stuff and it's all detective novels. it's like, I don't know that I want that.
You just don't want to do a full read. Like Philip K. Dick is pretty good. Like I've liked all the stuff I've read. You have to be down for something that is kind of trippy and does not necessarily have a satisfying end.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause they're pulp. Mm-hmm. At the time, they're just like elevated pulp.
Yeah. Fuck. How good is The Scanner Darkly though?
Good.
Both the book and the movie.
I'm a little less in the movie, but I like mm-hmm. it. I don't like rotoscoping very much.
Oh,
yeah. That's a thing.
Just what a fucking cast that movie has. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today on YouTube, I've run out of YouTube stuff to watch.
Okay.
You know, we had this time off we talked about.
That's always the case. You have more time to consume and so many creators go on break. Like
yes.
I'm dipping back into podcast backlog.
Yeah. It's ludicrous. Well, I also did not want to spend my break doing that, but I needed to rest. And that's what rest looks like to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I end up watching. So I'm just kind of taking what it gives me at this point. And I did one today, and it was 10 reasons not to ride the rails. And I thought that was very funny because I just, you know, I don't know. I feel like you don't need that many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the rails. Yeah. Like, oh, you're going to end up riding the rails is like a very common, like lose state that you would say to somebody. Like, oh, you're going to end up on the street. You're going to end up riding the rails.
Yeah. And it's also a thing that the guy was making. I didn't know anything about this. It reminded me of why I'm glad to be offline stuff largely, because they were saying that it is a really political thing. Like, it is a thing there's discourse about.
What?
Which is fucking nuts to me. Like, how is there... I mean, this is a YouTuber said it. I don't know how true it is.
All right.
But they're like, this is a political, like a leftism thing. And I was just like, how?
Of being
what does that fucking mean? And then I realized I don't want to know, actually. I could, but...
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm still too online, making modest changes. Yeah, I've not seen anything about whether or not it's practiced to become a vagrant.
Yeah. Apparently it is.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, tramp, specifically.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. If it's in the wilderness and you're traveling, it's tramping.
Tramping. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the distinction. A lot of those, was not aware that there was one. But I could see that. Like, I think both of us are lighthouse people. Right?
Yes.
Like, oh, I could just, you know, just to go live in a lighthouse around nobody. Like, that would be the way to do it. But there are probably some people for whom their lighthouse is a boxcar.
Yeah. You know, but it turns out there are 10 reasons not to do that.
Yeah. Were they good reasons? Did you watch it?
I did watch it. There aren't very many open boxcars.
Okay.
It's super illegal. You deal with a lot of people who are on a lot of drugs.
Uh-huh.
You die from it. There were a lot of examples of ways people have died from it, and that's just scary as hell.
Oh, yeah. Like, just like, the cargo shifted while you were sleeping?
Yeah, that happens. people have frozen to death.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the train ended up going through an Arctic area, and they're not heated.
Mm-hmm.
The door can close on you, and people have just died of thirst.
Oh, God.
That's so scary. Like, nobody can hear you on this moving train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Horrible shit.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And they largely go through food deserts. So you're just eating crappy food when you jump off.
Yeah.
The funniest one was it's more expensive than you think.
Oh.
And I was like, huh.
Okay.
And I guess. And they were saying like it's expensive because of time. You're going by train schedules. It would be cheaper just to fly or drive. And that made me think like, oh, this isn't a real ride in the rails guy. That sounds like something that somebody would say.
Yeah.
Like a bougie. But then, you know, they had their kind of bona fides later. So.
Huh.
Weird, okay. Right?
Yeah. So, like, it is more costly than you think, like, in a backpacking, like, kind of way. Yeah.
Like, if you want to get somewhere, it's not a way to save money.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people were using it for that.
Yeah. I don't think that somebody who is riding the rails is, you know, doing the opportunity cost calculation. Like,
yeah.
You know, based on my hour, based on what I could earn in an hour, does it make sense to hire somebody to mow my lawn?
How much is my time
not?
Worth as I get onto the back of a train?
Yeah.
You know,
that's me making a lot of assumptions about somebody who's going to ride the rails. And I don't know that I'm necessarily being fair, but just taking my dead reckon here, even I struggle to do that math a lot of the time. Yeah.
I feel like it's a semi-fair assumption.
Yeah.
That people riding the rails a lot are probably not doing that.
It feels like something you're driven to out of necessity. Although, if you're driven to it...
You're driven to it by necessity, but also a lot of people just like doing it, is the context I picked up from this YouTube.
Okay, yeah.
And now, because I've watched it, YouTube is going to give me like the entire cinematic universe of this shit.
Okay.
The next time we record, I'm going to have so much information about riding the rails.
10 reasons not to frog.
Yeah, 10 reasons not to frog. I'll find the counterpoint video that's like 10 reasons you need to ride the rails right now.
Yep.
You want to see if they're more compelling? Like, yes, I can die and get stabbed by drug addicts, but like, what if it's real cool?
Burn the ants, gas the ants, freeze the ants, save the ants.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out the counterpoint. We have to hear both sides of the rail thing. I think I've told you this before. I had a friend who did that.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, my friend who was my assistant back in my job in Illinois did that with a guy. They went down to Texas, and he said it really sucked. He got arrested when he got off. And the only thing they had to eat was a box of frozen Taquitos.
And no way to heat them.
No way to heat them. They weren't frozen by the time they ate them, but they certainly weren't like hot.
Yeah. Armpit temperature at most.
Yes. Like train temp Taquitos, frozen Taquitos.
Yeah. You just got to slap these Taquitos between your thighs, yes. bud.
Are they soggy? Oh, you bet they're soggy. And it's all you get to eat for 2 days until you go to jail.
Oh. Like it's like a real until you go to jail, which you will welcome.
Yes, the loving embrace of a cell will be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Jesus.
Riding the rails.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
That's Minority Report.
That's Minority Report. I guess riding the rails is like being a precog. You know where you're going to go.
Yeah, the trains are precogs.
Yeah.
That's why they're Praxis.
Mm-hmm.
What should people do if they like the show?
If you like the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There you can kick us a few bucks a month. It supports us. It keeps our houses hot, but you also get a bunch of cool stuff in return.
Yeah. We think it's a good value. Yeah. You can also leave us range reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere you find podcasts, subscribe, talk about us on message boards and social media. All that stuff helps.
Yes.
And join us and thank you, our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, big thanks to Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, which is definitely one way to spend 30 minutes.